recap of Sunday's readings, it's time for Homily Highlights on Mater Dei Radio.
And today's homily highlight by Father Bill Moisant, Resurrection Church in Tualatin.
The Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth of Mamre. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth of Mamre. Might say, what does that mean? Mamre is a place, it's a location, it's where Abraham was at the time of this account. It's the tradition says that it's in the area of what's modern day Hebron, about 18 miles south of Jerusalem, up into the mountains of Judea. Mamre. Terebinth, that's a tree, it's a kind of tree. It's a tree that we get pistachios from. Another variety, they get turpentine from the sap. So it's a very important tree. But it's growing in a place where Abraham is sitting in its shade, sitting in the shade of the tree at Mamre. And then he sees three strangers coming. They're standing there looking at him. They're the three strangers that are representing the presence of God, which is proclaimed in our icon of the Holy Trinity. Those are the three strangers. And Abraham feels called to minister to them. So he goes out and invites them, sit in the shade, wash your feet, we'll get you something to eat, and offers them hospitality. And so he goes into the tent, because his wife's in there, Sarah. And he says something to her that a husband should never say to his wife. Quick, make the rolls. Don't say that. Don't say quick to your wife. That's not nice. But he's enthusiastic. He's got these three strangers out there. So he goes into Sarah and says, quick, get going on the rolls. And then he goes out and finds the servant, and they slaughter the young steer, and the servant fixes it for the strangers. And so he comes out and waits on them, brings them more food. And they have their meal. And when it's time to go, one of the strangers says, where is your wife at? And he said, well, Sarah, she's in the tent. And he says, when I come back in a year, she will be pregnant. Throughout the scriptures, the sign of a woman become pregnant is an indication of the presence of God, or something very important has happened, and so this pregnancy is a way to be a sign of the Lord's presence. In the gospel, we have the account of Martha and Mary as Abraham serving the strangers, so Martha and Mary are serving Jesus. The gospel says that Jesus enters a village, it's Bethany. It's the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Bethany was a very important place because it was a place for the poor people. The poor people went there to be ministered to and to be helped. Sick people went there. Lepers went there. Lepers were not allowed to enter Jerusalem, but they could go up to the top of the Mount of Olives and look out to Jerusalem and see the holy city. And that was the closest they were allowed to get. And so scholars say that very likely Martha and Mary and Lazarus are ministering to these people, serving them. They would immediately have a kinship with Jesus because they're already living the gospel that they haven't been preached to about. And so they're out serving. And so Jesus is welcomed by Martha. And the next scene in the gospel is Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. He's teaching her. They're probably in a public place in their house that we would think of the living room. And Jesus is sitting there talking to Mary. That has all kinds of cultural issues. One, Jesus is there with an unmarried woman who's sitting at his feet, listening to him like a man. In that culture, men would be doing this. Men would be listening to Jesus. But it's Mary, it's a woman, and he's teaching her. That would have been unheard of. And then we have Martha, who is serving. The Greek word is diakone, to serve. We assume that she's in the kitchen, but scholars say, well, that may not be the case, because diakone could also mean she's outside serving the sick people. She's out ministering to them, taking care of them. Maybe she's feeding them, maybe she's attending to their needs, but she's busy doing the serving that she's called to do. And so she's obviously a little frustrated, and she comes to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care?" They must be on a pretty good relationship for her to say that to him. A woman saying that to a man in this culture. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving, to do the diakone? I'm out there by myself. Tell her to come out and help me." But Jesus says no, that at this moment, although the serving is important, especially the diakone if she's serving the poor people in the village, but right now, Mary's doing the very thing she needs to be doing. And the culture will not take this away from her. Jesus is allowing Mary to stay and to be taught like a man. Unheard of. But Jesus is teaching her. It could very well be Martha sitting at his feet. He probably at this point saying, "Martha, just stop being so busy. Come in here and sit down. I want to talk to you too like I am Mary." Though the gospel doesn't say that. And so it's not that Martha was doing anything wrong. She's actually doing something very good. Another gospel would be she's probably in the kitchen fixing lunch. But in this gospel, she's doing something, some kind of serving, diakone. So that's good. But Jesus is saying at this moment, come here. Because what Mary's doing is important for her. Because I'm teaching her. And I'm sure Jesus said teach Martha as well. And so there's this sort of tension in the gospel, traditionally, of activity and contemplation or prayer. Is one better than the other? Do we have to choose? Going to be busy like Martha, or be in the presence of Jesus like Mary? And so we may think that we have to make a choice, or one's better than the other. But it's not an either-or situation, it's a both-and. Do both. Be busy and be prayerful. Do an activity, be contemplative. We can even do it at the same time. Do it at the same time. We might find ourselves really busy, raising the children, chasing grandchildren, working, doing the chores around the house. Whatever we're doing, we could feel burdened like that by Martha. We can even be serving in a sense of diakone. We may be serving other people and be helping them, but sometimes we feel overwhelmed by that. I had a woman quite a few years ago come to me. She had three little children. She says, "In my younger days, before these children came, I would pray. I'd pray a lot. I pray in the morning, pray in the evening, I pray at noon, I say the rosary, I read the scripture. That was my life. But I can't do it anymore. These kids require so much work and attention, and by the time the evening comes and I put them to bed, I'm exhausted. I have no energy to pray." And so I suggested to her to make all of that activity her prayer. It's a good prayer. God gave her these children, gave her the chores she has to do. So I suggested to her that every hour, like a clock, about every hour, stop what you're doing for a second and say amen. Whether you're changing a diaper or chasing a kid or making dinner, whatever you're doing, on the hour, say amen, and then offer up what you've been doing. That's your prayer. Okay, you're not saying Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be. You're not saying the rosary. You're not reading scripture as you used to. But what you're doing is worthwhile, and it's holy work. And you should offer it to God every hour and feel good about that. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel like you're doing something wrong by not praying, because you are praying. But the praying is the activity. And that's what we are called to do, even when we're busy, driving down the highway, being at work, doing the chores around the house. Whatever we're doing, on a ever so often stop and say amen. That this work that I'm doing, Lord, I offer to you. That's my prayer.
And that is your homily highlight from Father Bill Mossoint, pastor at Resurrection Church in Tualatin.